This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Staub Audio Engineering. If you have listened to any of the episodes, you have undoubtedly heard me talk about Mike and the phenomenal audio engineering work that he does. His mixes and masters are truly some of the best that I've ever heard. I love working with Mike on all of our Dreamfield tunes, on all of our Summit One tunes. He is an absolute wizard. Make sure to hit him up, inquire about mixing and mastering prices, and take your tracks to the next level. Oh, yeah. And Mike is also one of the nicest, kindest human beings you'll ever meet. Definitely hit him up and work with him.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of the producers, artists, and creators that are tuning into the show. My name is Cody Christensen, and you are listening to the Chilled Samples Podcast. My friend, welcome back to the podcast. It has been, I think it's been a full year since we've recorded an episode, which is a long time, man. And it feels like it's gone in the blink of an eye. But just like you said, right before we press record, this feels oddly nostalgic. And that makes sense, man. Jonas, before I blabber on how special this episode is for me, how's everything going with you, man?
Going great. Thanks for the opportunity to be back on the podcast. It's always such a pleasure speaking with you, man. I'm really looking forward to this conversation, just catching up. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, great. Life's great.
Awesome, dude. Well, you've had so many monumental moments over the past year, so I'm excited to hear all about them and hear about the travels and the music and the successes that you've had, man. Because obviously we're always connected via socials, so we've been able to stay in contact there, and of course collaborating and releasing music together. But none of that quite compares to being screen to screen and recording an episode. So, Jonas, for people that maybe haven't been following over the past year, what are some of the big highlights that have happened
over the past year? Okay, so I think the biggest one is probably that I got married. I got married last August to my best friend Luis, that has been an absolute blast. I mean, that was such a wonderful day. Like, can't even begin to describe how amazing that. It was just perfect. And kind of related to that, I started my Jonas Hoffman piano project, which is Jonas Hoffman is my real name. I started my piano project, which I got this beautiful, you probably can't see it here, and the listeners can't see it, of course, but I got this beautiful Schimmel upright piano in the studio, which just sounds, oh my God, it feels so good to play a real upright piano. And I started recording instrumental piano pieces, I think around, a bit more than a year ago, actually, but I, like, in relation to the wedding, I wanted to do like a grand gesture for my wife, so I gave her as a present one composition every month on the day that we were married for the rest of our lives. Wow. So one composition every month on the 13th. Every month, yeah. So that's quite a challenge even for me. I think it's a way to always have music close and always be able to look back on the day we got married and like always remind ourselves on this. So that's one thing And that's been going really well. It's absolutely crazy. It has more than a million monthly listeners now. I think I have probably more than 20 compositions out now and more than 20 million streams. It's crazy. I got very lucky getting on that Peaceful Piano playlist, though. But, man, where do I even go from here? So much stuff to unpack.
Incredible. Well, one, first of all, congratulations on getting married, man. And Thanks, dude. special life moment. And then to follow that up with a composition every week as a lifelong gift. Like what an incredible gesture. I'm sure a couple years from now it's gonna be like the 12th of a certain month, and you're gonna be like, man, I have to knock this composition out. Dang it. What a beautiful, beautiful idea. And I remember when you first launched your piano project, but I had no idea it gained so much momentum. To already have over 1 million monthly listeners, like what was your strategy for the piano project in comparison to Hoffy Beats?
I kind of had this very similar approach, because I thought, why can't I use the same tactics in a different genre, right? So I was, in some ways, in the beginning, I was very like laser focused on getting that Peaceful Piano ad, because I knew that was where the listeners are. That's where that's like the main piano playlist on Spotify, at least. So I was just like, I went in to the playlist and checked out the people who had ads on there, which labels are on there, and I found the labels on Instagram. I DM'd them, sent them emails with, of course, I think I had maybe 7 finished, like really polished compositions that I had ready, and they just couldn't resist. So I was... Of course, it was a very strategic way of doing it, like I've done with lo-fi, just finding out who's on the playlists, figuring out which labels sit on those placements, and then figuring out how to get in contact with those people. So that was my strategy, and I think that applies to basically anything, basically any genre. I think that could work.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just proved it, man. And that, what an awesome way to have that crossover and strategy and apply it to your piano composition. So that's wow, absolutely incredible. So Jonas, what else has happened in the past year? Because I know you're balancing a lot of different projects.
Definitely. One of the main things is, I think last time we spoke, just the two of us, which was like just when I moved in here, which is,
yes,
it's like 1.5 years ago, I think. Wow. Oh my God. Yeah. I was talking about a piano plugin, which obviously it hasn't been released yet, but I actually, tomorrow I have a meeting with my childhood friend, and we will finally start everything. I have everything ready to get this the ball rolling on that project. Incredible. But obviously I've been very occupied with a lot of other things. I've started, like, since last August, I've started a little, for now, secret label project. I'm not going to go into more details now, but it will probably be announced very soon. It's with some amazing people that you know. So I'm very excited. We've been working hard since last August to get this ready and to get the foundation going, but I can't really reveal anything yet. So that's gonna be a very interesting journey already, but it's gonna be a very interesting new thing on my list of ever-growing projects.
Well, as soon as it does become public, you know who to talk to in regards to a formal announcement, man. I'm happy to be a part of that launch.
Sick, of course. Yeah, and really, I think I've had I've had such a great time just visiting people and having people over from the community. I had Tim Tunyon. He was here for 1 week in May last year and 1 week in October. And we made one of the best projects I've ever been part of. We made such a cool album together that is so special and very, very, very special for me, which will start the rollout very soon. I'm really, really excited about that. But just being in the studio, like real live, producing with some of the most amazing people from the community, and yeah, that has been amazing. I was in Norway as well, and France with a lot of people from the Effortless crew. Shout out to Benny for making that happen. So many amazing projects and experiences, but yeah, just meeting people from the community and just connecting, making music. And it's been amazing.
Wow, yeah, how special, Jonas, and I'm envious of that, the proximity that you all have in regards to traveling, and I can't wait to skip across the pond one of these days and to be able to meet everyone in our community in person, because I know that's going to be a phenomenal day. And I've been watching a lot of these meetups happen, and it's so cool to watch our community grow and develop and evolve, and to see everybody's projects grow and develop. And it's been what an interesting journey, man. And how lucky are we that we fell into this lo-fi chill beats community. It's so special. And I guess along those lines, Jonas, so thinking about your strategy for Hoffy Beats in the past year, has there been any significant changes to your strategy at all? Because I know, man, every time I look at your project, like you're floating around like 1.6 to 2 million monthly listeners, which is obviously incredible. So how have you maintained that amount of listeners? What kind of strategy have you been implementing in the past year?
Well, of course, consistency, like always. It's I've been releasing more music the last year than I have since I began, I think. At least the first 2 years, of course. So just a lot of collaborations. And I think for the Hoffy project, for some reason, I've reached a point where I don't really think too much about the strategy anymore. I'm just very, very lucky, in a very, very lucky position, that the people who are curating the playlists are like my stuff and adds that to the playlist. It's not like I really try to push the Hoffy name and push everything too much. It's actually been surprisingly like maybe too simple for me. Mm. I've just been releasing music and focusing on making other things, like my piano project, and working on like experimenting with other sounds and just doing that, and of course keeping up the lo-fi beats, but with the collaborations, but it's been, I haven't really been too caught up in getting those placements, and like very not intuitively that has gained me more traction.
Wow.
For some reason. I don't really understand how that happened and why that happened, but I'm very, very grateful, and I really don't understand how it happened. At this point, I feel like the algorithmic playlists of especially Spotify have changed so much. Like Like, a lot of my streams at this point is, they are radio streams. Like, I think it's my third biggest playlist. Not really playlist, but, you know, it's my source of streams, which is kind of interesting, I think, because it hasn't always been like this. So I'm not sure. I think they changed up their algorithm or something to do that. But yeah, I'm not sure. I've been very, very lucky. I feel I've been too lucky. Yeah.
One, Jonas, the radio plays, that is interesting. And it's interesting to watch how the algorithm changes now and curiously how it's going to change in the future. And I think, you've worked so hard in the past 2 years to develop these collaborative relationships and to build this catalog of tracks and to have all of these releases. And so I think, like, as the algorithm's continuously picking that up, like, the foundation that you've built over the past 2 years has just allowed that momentum to carry forward, which is incredible. And what you said about not fully understanding it and the growth of your project, even as you're focusing on other different things, like, there's so much beauty in that. And it's probably not worth trying to understand, right? It's just accepting it and being like, wow, this is fantastic. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So, that's really awesome to hear. So we've talked about plugin, label, piano project. What other projects do you have going on? Because I know there's a couple more.
Yeah, there's probably a couple more. Well, first of all, I've been working on a sample pack, which is, I have a drum kit in my studio, and I basically started playing the drums when I got the drum kit in the studio, like, 1.5 years ago. And since then, I've been experimenting a lot with getting nice drum sounds and just exploring different recording techniques for live drums and just practicing every day. And now I have my first sample pack ready. Great. It's I'm still waiting for the graphics to be delivered, but I have all the sounds, all the samples, all the loops, which is, I'm just waiting to get the graphics ready. It's gonna be called Smash Drums. It's like hard hitting, really super processed lo-fi drums, which I'm really, really proud of, because I've been working so hard on getting the sound right and getting my chops right. But I'm really excited to launch that in the near future, which. And of course, we have our collaborative project, Chill West, with you, Dreamfield, and Hoffy Beats, the little snowman, the cute snowman, which has been, we've made so many cool tracks together over the past year. I really feel like the combination of Kelly and your and my sound has really merged into something great. And I don't know what are the numbers on that. I don't even I haven't really checked in a while. What's the status?
Yeah. I think we're at like 120,000 monthly listeners right now on Chill West. Yeah,
which
not bad, but I know we can do better. But yes, it's a joy to be able to create with both you and Kelly, because you guys have you both have such unique sound, and for me, working with Kelly, like, it's just such a joy, you know, because I mean, he's 67. He brings such a different musical flavor and musical experience to work with. That is, I don't think anybody, like, but somebody that grew up in the classic rock era can bring. And so it's a true joy to be able to make music with him and of course make music with you. So I'm excited to continue to crank out some tunes and really boost Chill West over 2023 and 2024. Jonas, you're and you I mean, you have live gigs as well, man. You perform live, I think, like under two monikers. Is that accurate?
I have a few different live projects. I of course have my Huffy Beats project where I'm playing live lo-fi gigs with my friend Thor, who's playing the guitar, and I've actually been rehearsing with a lo-fi live band.
Great.
Called Lo-Fi Kollektiv, which is Danish for lo-fi collective, and we've only had one gig, but playing lo-fi in this way is so, it's so different from like with an actual band, like with a drummer, with everything. It's so different from playing with a backing track, but it gives so much more life to the music. And I think that has a lot of potential to grow, but we're still finding the right audience, the right venues for this, mm-hmm. for that project. And of course I have my rap collective Flathead, which is it's sort of grown into this really cool project. We didn't really have any expectations for it, but since we started in 2020, now we've released a lot of music and we've landed a lot of gigs. We have this whole like show. We have so many things going on stage that are just absolutely crazy. It's this musical outlet where I can allow myself to just go absolutely crazy and just not give a damn about anything.
Yeah.
So that's I really enjoy that. The other guys are such amazing human beings. They are so much fun, and
Jonas, well, it's so incredible. And how do you balance all of these projects, man? Like how do you stay organized and continue the momentum in all of these different projects? How are you making sure like everything's getting done?
Well, it's tough, but it's a full, of course I do this full time, and I think I'm very structured. Like my calendar is always like, it's always booked like for the specific times, and everything is really, really organized. And I have my system of notes that I just like every day go through and make sure that I don't forget anything, and like immediately get things out of the way that I know I have to do. And just, yeah, it's of course getting into the habit of just finishing tasks, like with music, getting into the habit of finishing tracks. I think getting into the habit of finishing tasks like whenever you can, like just immediately, you know, you have to do this, just get it done when you think about it. Otherwise it's going to occupy some of your mental capacity, and it's just going to be there in your mind while you're doing other things. So I try to be very conscious about how I also use my mental, like my mental time, my mental capacity to just get things out of the way as soon as I can. But of course it's a very idealistic way of putting it, but it's, of course it's not like this every day, but taking, I think I've had quite a lot of success with just either the day before or in the morning going on a walk, just listing the stuff that I need to do today, like just prioritizing what should I do from my list of other like like a huge list of projects that I need to work on at some point. And just prioritizing that the day before or on the day, I think that really helps me focus on what's important, and also gets I can write it in my note and I don't have to think about it before the next day. And so I think that's one of the ways that I stay sane during during all of these projects.
And Jonas, I think it's so important to have that tangible, organized system. And if I share a conversation with somebody that doesn't have a system in place, you know, I'm perplexed at how they can get anything done. And similar to you, I try to keep everything written down and as structured as possible, and not necessarily leave it up to my own internal management system, because I know projects will get left behind. I'll forget things. So the more that I can utilize the systems I have in place to keep everything organized and similarly ensure that I'm checking those tasks off every single day, the better off I'm going to be. And I think it's so important. I think for somebody like you, man, that's managing so many different projects, I don't think there's any other way to be able to manage it effectively. Otherwise you'd be, you know, all over the place. And so that's awesome that you do have the systems in place. And it's, of course, you've talked about this system in the past on previous episodes, and to hear how that continues to develop as your career continues to develop is really exciting and cool. And so I guess as people that are continuously trying to improve and get better, you already have a great system in place, but what aspects of this system are you trying to improve over the next year?
I think one of the things that I could definitely improve on is not forgetting that I actually have this list, this system. I think sometimes when you get caught up, like when you travel, when you have visitors, like when you have sessions in the studio with people, you're of course you have to be present where you are, and sometimes if you just have too many days where you don't really get to checking off some of the points on that list, everything just feels like, oh shit, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do that. And I totally forgot I had to do it. And I've had some days where I didn't get to do the things that I actually promised myself because I had too many things scheduled, which... I think to sum that up, I should probably say no more often, which is so difficult. It's so difficult when there are so many things you want to do, so many like projects, so many exciting things that are happening, and you just want to be there for everything, but you can't. And that's something that I've been experiencing, because I haven't said no to enough things. I haven't prioritized enough. I think that's one of the things that I could definitely improve on. But it's so difficult. It's so difficult to every day you have to prioritize what's important today. But but then you schedule something for next month. Maybe that's not important next month, but you still have to do it because you scheduled it with someone else, and they are expecting you to deliver on that. So it's always trying to improve on that, and always trying to predict how you're gonna be. But it's you can't really do it. So of course that's one of the problems, Sam.
Well, and I think, Jonas, that's a problem you're gonna have probably for the rest of your life with how ambitious you are, which is a good quality. But yeah, saying no to opportunities and having fear of missing out on whatever that opportunity is certainly real. But there is only so many hours within a day, even with an optimized system in regards to management. It's still impossible to take on every project and to do it to the ability that you want to do it to. So Jonas, how are you, man? So you're balancing all of these projects. You're working a ton. How are you staying? And obviously working on music is fun, and it fills us with joy, right? But it's still work. There's still you still need time out of the studio to recharge. So what are you doing outside of the studio to keep yourself healthy and happy and energized?
Lately, I've been taking a lot of walks. I think that's the way I stay active. Mostly, I think I have this at least 10,000 steps goal, and which, of course, it's not a big undertaking every day to walk 10,000 steps. But I think if I don't do it, if I don't go outside and have air and have time away from the studio to think and breathe and it's gonna reflect on my work. So it's the most effective thing for me. Of course, I work out regularly, but the walks are the most efficient ways. Like if I have days where I have sessions all day and I can't really get a proper workout done, I will try to wake up before people come here, and I will have a walk because I know that will center me, and I will be in a much more positive mindset and way more productive if I have this just this morning walk or even evening walk or stuff like this. It's the most efficient thing for me to do. And often a lot of cool ideas and just thoughts randomly pop up while I walk, which probably wouldn't have appeared if I was just staying inside the studio all day. So it's a way to let the mind wander, gather, let the subconscious mind get the cool ideas to surface, which I really enjoy that. That's something I really enjoyed. Yeah.
Are you listening to anything while you're walking, or just your surroundings?
That depends. That really depends. Sometimes it's a podcast, sometimes it's a book, but I don't think the content matters too much. I think it's the activity that sparks creativity and also a lot of joy. I think it just makes me very happy. But yeah, sometimes it's music, sometimes it's very different. Just whatever I feel like on the day, I'll just decide. It's not like I try not to have a rigid structure for that, because it's my creative recharge space. So it shouldn't have too much structure for otherwise it's gonna
which makes sense. And I'm a strong proponent of getting outside and moving and walking or running or hiking. That's certainly a massive part of my life and a massive part of my happiness. So aside from walking and how often do you get to just hang out and watch a movie or just fully relax? How often does that happen?
I don't know. Sometimes I like to just with my wife, we'll have an evening in the weekends on the couch, just watching some TV shows. I wouldn't say it's a regular thing, because we're both quite busy people. But it does feel very great to when we get the chance to really relax and calm down and recharge like that.
There
are a lot of ways to do that. Yeah,
totally, totally. Yeah. Well, and that's a man. I think my fiance and I, we probably watched something like as we're going to bed, but I always fall asleep within like 30 minutes. So we never actually complete anything, but that is, those small moments are nice. Jonas, so as you're thinking about your career moving forward, man, like you have so many moving parts and so many projects that are successful. How are you viewing your career like long term? Like, what are some of your biggest aspirations that you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, so recently I've been thinking a lot about how I want like my future, like my everyday life in the future to be. Me and my wife, we've been talking about for a while now about buying a huge property in a rural area, like a big place with a bunch of space, nature, and opportunities to make essentially a creative space, a studio where I can have people over. I could potentially host events where people can live.
Wow.
in small apartments, small houses, where all of these like creative people can meet and just make music in beautiful surroundings. And I think like owning something like that and hosting stuff like this that really helps other people grow their own artistic projects and just like teaching people the opportunities that music can provide and like especially younger people. I feel like after teaching a lot of classes in production, I really feel like there is not enough people who are really pushing that an artistic pursuit is actually possible as a way of like sustaining your life, like making a living. You can actually make a living in a ton of ways with your creative endeavors. You just have to know how. And a lot of people, like, you can't really find this information anywhere. You have to learn it from someone who's done it. And you have to, yeah. So I really want to pursue this kind of, yeah, this kind of helping other artists reach their potential. And I really find a lot of meaning in that, giving people the opportunity to do the same thing that I've been very lucky to have, and just sharing my story, sharing my network, sharing my techniques, and helping people grow their own artistic visions trying to provide provide a place where that can happen. And yeah, I think that's right now, that's my like 5-10 years in the future plan, which yeah, I'm really positive about the future, mostly. But,
wow.
But yeah, that's my biggest aspiration at the moment.
Jonas, how incredible, man. One, the aspirational goal of having property and being able to build a creative epicenter focused on helping the careers and the artistry of others. That's so admirable. And I think it totally is possible. And I couldn't think of a better person to help be a conduit of all of that growth, man. What a really cool goal. So how many production classes did you teach and who did you teach them to? And I guess let me preface with saying I have a good friend that we went to college together, and he teaches middle school, and he over COVID, he was able to accumulate a lot of grants and get financial assistance to build a production course for middle schoolers, which is absolutely incredible. And I had the opportunity to speak to a couple of his classes this past February, and it was just so wild to see, you know, 12 and 13 and 14 year olds with Ableton in front of them. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like the opportunity that you all have is absurd. And so that it was inspiring, and I was trying not to yell at the kids. I probably was like, just like, you guys have such a great opportunity. Like do not squander this opportunity, like take it and run with it. But, tell me a little bit more about your experience teaching some of these production courses, because obviously it had a very profound effect in the way that you're thinking about helping others.
Yeah, for sure. So I think the first course or workshop that I did was, it was probably 2 years ago, and it was a bit older. They were 17 to 19, I believe. So they were already familiar with DAW and production, and some of them even had their own like artist name and production or releases. And one in particular already made an album and was already on the way to like discovering his sound and his voice, which is so inspiring to see at that age, right? I really enjoyed just watching like the magic of them producing something that I would have never thought about, even though I'm here teaching, you can do this, you can do that. Like just showing the opportunities of how you can sample, how you can like work with effects, how you can like all these shortcuts, all these tips and tricks, and how they implemented them in their own way. It was just so cool. But and then I had an online during COVID, I had an online course where I taught like the basics of production, and had a weekly watch me produce kind of thing where I was just sitting in my own studio and they could jump on Zoom and watch me produce. And I would ask, oh, should we make a pop song? Should we make a trap song? And which instruments do you think would be cool here? How do you like this sound? And what if we do this? And just asking them these questions. They were a bit younger. They were 11 to 13 wow. year olds that didn't have any prior experience with producing. So I was just giving them a basic understanding of everything, and the creativity and the ideas that these kids had was just super inspiring. And there is so much potential also in not knowing the tips and the tricks and not knowing the software and just doing something, right? And it's very refreshing for me as well. Like I think it inspired me to do things differently as well. So of course it goes both ways, that I learn a lot from teaching people what I know, because they will adapt it in their own way and then show me what they've done with the tools that I've provided. And that way I can use my own tools in different ways, which is, I think that's such a unique experience. And I really hope to do more. I have a couple more scheduled, which will be more focused on actual recording sounds in the world and how to turn that into other things and how to process that and how to do stuff like this. So it's very fulfilling, and I really love that. But
Jonas is so special, man. And did you have a passion for education at the start of your music career, or is this, has this passion and this fulfillment of just evolved from your recent experiences in the past year and a half, 2 years?
I don't really know, but when I started my Huffy Beats project, I was a teacher. I had, like, at a public school, I had classes. I taught kids, like, math, and I had my own music class. 9-year-olds who were absolutely crazy, and I'm very happy I'm not
Dude,
in that.
I don't. Yeah, Jonas, I don't think I knew that, man.
Yeah,
which is crazy. I don't think I knew that. Wow.
Weird.
Wow.
Yeah,
so before
I was teaching for 2 years before I while I was teaching, I started growing my Huffy Beats project. But I was teaching. I was a teacher as my main job. And then mm-hmm. and then COVID hit, and I didn't have any classes, so I had to have the opportunity to focus on music 100%, and just kept growing. But while I was growing the project in the beginning, I was a teacher, and it was only like later in the process that I started teaching production. But that felt so much better to teaching a subject that you are actually passionate about and, mm-hmm. and teaching it to people who actually want to learn and chose to be there. And it makes such a big difference. Yeah.
Wow. But, yeah. Jonas, that's such a cool puzzle piece, man. I don't remember that part of your story, but I can obviously hear the passion and the affinity that you have for teaching and helping others. And I think you do that from some of the online courses that you've done, but two, I think just from your willingness to collaborate with people, like how many up and coming artists have you collaborated with? And, you know, I know it's a ton. And so I know you've helped them through that process. And, wow. It's really, really cool to hear you say that, man. And especially with that sort of being like the ultimate goal of your career is to build a place where you can really, really help other artists develop. That's so cool.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jonas, I didn't know that. So thinking in the next 5 to 10 years, are you going to try and do more online courses and teach more production lessons? Like how are you going to transition into implementing more of this education focus into your career? Or are you?
Yeah. I already have a bunch of classes planned this year. But I think for me, it's about first creating the place where it's possible. So it's not I don't think online courses is my passion. I feel like the in-person, like the real life experiences that you get by being in the same studio, by being in the same space and working together, and it's so much more rewarding. So I feel like the courses and workshops that I already have planned will just help me grow my experience in teaching and just developing more on how to teach what I know and how to deal with different situations. But getting a place that can facilitate all of this is the number one like priority, the number one goal for now, which of course requires a lot of money, which requires a lot of saving up. So that's what that's a primary focus right now.
Wow. Yeah, Jonas, I'm inspired, man. So as we're nearing the end of the conversation, what are some of your projections on the future of lo-fi, the future of music and streaming? Like, what do you think is going to happen over the next, like, let's say 3 years?
I think a lot of interesting things have happened recently in the music space, generally in the art space. I know this is a very long conversation, but I think that AI music and generally AI technology is going to change a lot. It already has changed a lot. It's already affected a lot of things and a lot of people's work, a lot of people's art and livelihoods. So mm-hmm. I think one thing that it's something that I've been concerned about a bit, not too much, because I've heard what they can actually do, they produce right now. Of course, it's going to improve a lot. But I do think, and I am a bit scared, that generated music is gonna somehow sneak its way into the music scene more, and it's eventually be on the editorial playlists, and I mean, you could go, it could be very you could have a very dark trajectory for this, where everything is just generated and all artistic expression is just lost. But I don't think it's gonna come to that. I don't think it's gonna come to that. I do have faith in the human and the human individuality that will help. Us, of course, we can distinguish generated music from real music, or at least to some degree. Some people, of course, won't be able to, but mm-hmm. I think most people, at least musical people, will very easily be able to identify this, and of course we will be better at identifying it. But yeah, it's a what's your take on it?
Well, it's interesting, and honestly, and Jonas, I haven't thought about it in a while. I think at the start of 2023, I feel like the AI conversation was pretty prevalent, and so I was thinking about it relatively often, and honestly, I haven't thought about it for weeks. But similarly, I'm concerned. I'm concerned on where it's going to go, because, like you said, the music's going to be good. Eventually, I think the music is going to be, pretty incredible, and for most people, a good song is a good song regardless of where it comes from. And that can be problematic for the people that are making music and being heavily involved in electronic music. It's like right now, we have a DJ on stage with CDJs performing a show. And it's like, at some point, does a crowd care if it's an AI generated set, or if there's even an artist on stage? And I'm not sure, because even within electronic music, there's a lot of pre-recorded sets, and the only people that care are other DJs that are jealous of where that other DJ is. And I've certainly been that person, and I've seen it at some of the biggest stages in the world. I've seen it at Red Rocks, I've seen it at festivals, and it's like, that person is standing there in front of 10,000 people and they're not doing anything. And I care, but then I look towards the crowd and I see 10,000 people that are dancing and having fun. And it's like, well, does my opinion matter? So that makes me nervous in regards to AI music. So, So with like a dubstep track or a dubstep track, if a fan or a listener is just on shuffle on Spotify or a playlist and a song comes on and it's good, do they care? Do they care if it's AI generated or not? And that is concerning, man. But the other piece is I certainly can't stop the development of AI. So it's like, when I think about it, what am I going to do to try to navigate and to learn a new landscape in order to survive and be successful as an artist? And I don't necessarily know. AI can't play a real life instrument right now, so that's a plus. AI can't hold a saxophone yet, so that's a plus. But I'm not sure how much that matters, because really, production, you know, Ableton's my favorite instrument by far. But it's certainly a concern of mine, and I think, Jonas, fortunately we're kind of on the front lines, and you, myself, and everybody in our network, like, we're going to notice it before most people do, because that's, you know, the space that we exist in and the space that we work in. But yeah, man, it is concerning. But I try to focus on like how much of it is out of my control, and most of it is. So I think just continuing to do my best every day, and as the landscape changes, we'll see what happens, and we'll see how artists react. We'll see how labels react. We'll see how platforms react, and we'll see how fans react. And that's a lot of different reactions, and there's so many different directions it can go, man. But that was a long way of me saying that I'm concerned, but I'm trying not to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really think that we should be concerned. Like, one point to be made is that technology has always been developing, and people were afraid when you could actually record on a computer that music would die. I think it's always like this with another new major technology. People will always be afraid because they don't know what the future living with that technology is going to be like. People didn't know what the future with iPhones in their pockets was going to be like. So they were afraid that people wouldn't talk anymore in person, but that's not the case. I think in some ways, I hope that's going to be the same thing with AI technology, that it's just going to be another aspect of our lives that we need to live with. And it's not necessarily better or worse. In some cases, it's probably gonna help us, and in some cases, already have improved a lot of people's productivity. And I think it's a great tool. But I think that's the perspective that I want to try to hold on to while it's developing, and you hear a lot of scary things, and you can certainly get a lot of scary thoughts, but I think that's the main perspective that I want to subscribe to. But of course, you don't know, and it's out of our control. But let's be optimistic and about everything. At least,
yeah. Well, Jonas, I think that's the best perspective to have. And I was thinking about it. I think when trains were first developed, so when humans were moving from riding horses to riding trains for the first time, I think the initial thought was like, there's no way a human can go more than like 50 or 60 miles per hour. They're just going to turn to jello. So maybe that's the same perspective that we have right now. So Jonas, I think that's a great perspective to have. And I think that's a perfect note to end. this conversation on. And Jonas, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast and sharing your story, man. You've been such an important guest on this podcast from the very beginning, man. And I'm grateful to still have a wonderful relationship with you. And I love having the opportunity to share a conversation with you and to watch you grow and to learn from you, man. So Jonas, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. We're not going to wait a year this next time.
Hopefully not.
We won't. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Peace out.